Right, I'm just doing it. Great, okay, I'm Martin. We've got Simon here today. Over to you.
Hi, I'm Simon from Freedom in Numbers.
Yep, good. Where are you based?
So we work within a accountancy practice back in Sheffield, south of Sheffield, mm-hmm. at Woodseats. I help run it with my wife.
Right.
And we've been going 2 years now.
Right. You were telling me a bit earlier that it was you were looking for a different angle on accountancy. I know what an accountant is, I think.
Yeah, everybody thinks they know what accountants do. Everybody knows what accountants can do. They can do all your taxes and they say keep you out of prison type things. But there's a lot of new things what's coming out now, or what's come out, mm-hmm. in terms of the software, which is allowing accountants to automate and systemize a lot of the data entry stuff so they can get closer to their clients to help support them in their growth. Okay. And I've only come into the industry in the last 12 months full time. Right. It's Hannah who's got all the experience in the industry.
So Hannah is an accountant.
Hannah's the accountant and right. the supporting arm with accountants. I'm learning everything around the accountancy, and what I've seen so far is they can do so much more in interpreting the numbers, because they know what the numbers mean. A lot of people don't, and they don't understand that. Mm-hmm. And all the software, what's helping automate the information.
Yeah.
So you can close it to the accountants. And what I've seen from just me coming into it at the moment is that because compliance is so complicated, people think you can't speak to your accountants. And a lot of our clients in the past, where we struggled to convince them, is because they've been burnt so many times.
Okay.
You can do that with any industry, no matter what industry, you get burnt.
Yeah.
But it's taken a lot of trust building and getting close to and trying to explain how we can help them. And we always, when we do, now we've got a process we're building, we talk about their business owners' goals first, more than anything, to find out what they want. And then we can match our services to help them. And it's trying to save all their time, as much as time as possible, so they can go and do what they want. Or sit and then regularly sit with their accountant to help them separate the number,
freeing them up, I guess, so they can do what their business is, as opposed to get
because a lot of people just don't do paperwork. There's been many stories that they don't do bookkeeping, or the typical shoebox stuff. We've got a couple of clients who have been billed forgotten to get billed from their accountant, and now they're being billed, so then they've got a big bill they've got to pay. They don't know what taxes they're going to pay. Because they're not in regular contact with their accountant. But what this software is allowing accountants to do now is to systemize as much as possible and then get closer.
Yeah. So you're talking about, do you have what, 2 days a month, 2 days a week? What, how do you get in, what sort of levels do you get involved in the businesses?
Me, well, I'm working full time, I'm working alongside Hannah 5 days a week now.
Yeah.
Alongside you doing the school stuff, because we've got a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old. So I'm doing a lot of ferrying around more on that, taking that role more, and then helping Hannah in between things. Okay. So like now I dropped kids off various places this morning, one at childcare, one at Razzmatazz, I've come here at 11 o'clock, then I'll go back and pick them up at one at 3 o'clock, one at 4 o'clock, then take one to tennis, and then do the tea things so Hannah can do what she's good at.
Okay.
Because when my eldest was younger, I did the 60 plus hours a week working in employment, and Hannah worked as an employee in her job on night shift, and we never saw each other.
Right.
So roles have reversed a little bit, which I haven't got a problem with that in terms of looking after the kids. It's opposite skill sets. It makes more sense for Hannah to do what she's really good at and me bring up my skill set.
Yeah.
They're different.
So what did you do before then? What were you?
I was a lorry driver. I've been a lorry driver for 13 years, from 19 years old up until 32. That's what I am now.
Right.
And I always said when Hannah got qualified, I'll reduce my hours in my current job so I could bring my skill set up.
Yeah.
Because I knew I didn't want to do it for the next 50 plus years.
No. We're like in there.
So,
was this HGV?
Started from the 7.5 tons up to the HGV level.
The Arctics as well.
Yeah.
C plus E now, isn't it?
It's C plus E. C plus C you need obviously to drive, plus your CPC for the paper stuff.
Yeah.
But once you're in that industry, it can be extremely hard to get out of it, because you're doing 10, 12, 14 hours nearly every day.
Yeah, right.
And for 9 years I was on nights. and I never saw kids.
No, that's hard, isn't it?
So it was hard, and now we're at the level where I don't need to drive. But if I did need it, I've always got a fallback on if I wanted it.
Yeah.
But I've always had a mission, but my lack of skill set originally was to help people.
Yeah.
And how we're doing it through accountancy is freeing up their time, at the same time building our business up so we can teach other businesses how to grow theirs. So we're only going 2 years of learning.
I mean, it sounds, I was going to say, unique. Is it unique, or is
it used to be neat? It's called cloud accounting, but it's not called that anymore, or digital accounting practice.
Right.
Because the old style, everything used to be on desk, what I've learned. So I might be wrong, I might be right, but everything used to be on desktop, spreadsheets. You could never get access to your accountant. You never knew where you stood in terms of pricing.
Oh, yeah.
So now all this software's come out because of technology, like everything else.
Do you know what the software is?
We're just Xero.
There's
plenty out there. There's Xero, QuickBooks, all sorts of apps, Cashflow. There's loads of them, but we just use Xero because we've got the most. Well, Hannah's got the most experience in that. Yes. We find that the best.
So you can make that sing, then, can you?
Yeah, definitely. Because it's just it helps for a range of businesses.
Yes.
But people think using those softwares can replace the accountant, and on a certain level you can use it for that.
Yeah.
But you need that support from your accountant to make sure that you're getting the best out of that software.
Yes. Yeah,
but it's not just Xero. Xero can attach to an ecosystem of all different apps.
Yes. Okay.
So we've got a few various of clients. It's like we've got a few builders, and they work mobile a lot.
Yeah.
So they and having all that data in Xero means they over time they'll know what's happening in their business, how it's performing. So when the numbers built, the information builds up, that'll give them a performance of their business.
Yes.
So they can make the right decisions.
In a meaningful way, or in a layman's
term. And they'll know what they're spending. They'll know what their VAT liabilities are. They won't be any shocks. They'll know if they can go and spend some money on marketing or hire more staff and building that picture up. To do that on spreadsheets was very difficult because it was always out of date. With the software coming out now, once the system's built up and you've learned how to use it,
would you train somebody on Xero, for example?
Yeah, because there's no point having it if you don't train it. We've come up with a lot of people who say you just have that, but no, when client comes in, depending on what their skill level is, if they've already got it, if they haven't, and we always offer the training, so we'll train on what they need to do. They don't need to know everything, they just need to know what they need to run their business.
Okay.
So like sales invoices,
Putting
receipts into another app, what we use, which is called HubDoc. So all the receipts, everything goes in that, and then gets pushed into Xero. That's basic bookkeeping instead of keeping the receipts in the bucket.
So this, this is relevant to someone like me. Yeah, we're all talking about small businesses, with lots of ambitions and stuff, but we don't have time to, do these receipts. I do mine once a month.
Yeah.
It is shoebox style.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's like
how can I scan my receipts?
Yeah, how you can change that? It is easy. Yeah. Is you basically have an app called HubDoc. That's what we use. So you scan your
HubDoc.
HubDoc.
A doc.
Yeah.
HubDoc.
Yeah. Okay. It's HubDoc.
Yeah. Okay.
So all you have to do is you just basically scan that.
Yeah.
And as long as the picture's good quality, where is that app reads certain information, date, time, and everything.
Oh, okay. Right.
And then that would get pushed into Xero and put in the correct account codes.
Yes.
And that's it, that's your bookkeeping done. Right. You don't have to put it in a spreadsheet, you don't have to, because what's so time consuming, what makes it really expensive, is sending that box to an accountant, and they've got to sort it all manually.
Yeah.
And then they would put it in on a spreadsheet and they'd do it manually. I know that because Hannah made me do it, and I said, is this what the old way is? I says, no wonder why you had no time to do anything. So that saves you time. So even if you did a client did it once a week, that goes in, and then over time it'd be all in Xero, and then you can speak to your accountant and say, how much money I've got, how much have I spent so far?
Yes.
Or what can I, discussing each other, and that saves so much time.
So we spoke earlier about sort of connecting people and getting, linking everything else. Are you aiming at a local demographic? I mean, because people feel like, they're your next door type thing. You feel you're in touch with them? I mean, do you meet people face to face? That sort of thing?
Yeah, we can meet.
Or do you have clients all around the country?
No, the beauty of the software, it's not local anymore. Accountants don't have to just operate in Sheffield. We could operate anywhere in the UK, And even if we had the right, if weren't your staff, you could actually operate anywhere in the world, yes, as long as you got the staff to do the skill set.
But isn't part of that being we're close by or something?
Yeah, no, because all the software out there, and you can do it. Some clients don't like it; they like to be face to face.
Yeah,
but you can do it. Everything can be done online through actually video calling, through Zoom.
Oh, you've done that.
Skype.
Okay,
we've done that on a couple of clients. Yep. And now we tend, depending on what the client wants, mm-hmm, we tend to try and meet them face to face.
Yes.
All time to go through everything. But when we get initial inquiry first, we'll go through the, get some general information first.
Yeah. Okay.
That's to make sure we're a match, because it's not about we do your books and that's it. It's more about a partnership. We,
yes,
work together.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. So, I mean, yeah, you're not going to be flying to Indonesia
No.
Week basis.
Yeah,
so
no.
You're talking about.
We want to work together with clients. So it's, yeah, like they have to do certain things just so we can do our job.
Yeah.
So just like putting the receipts in and so that takes a bit of coaching and training, and once it's done, it's second nature.
Yeah.
We've had a few people where we've told them that, like, you can get rid of your receipts now. I'm like, no, I can't do that, because they like to keep them.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you don't need to do that. But yeah, because it's so laborious just to sit there and go through your receipts. But if it's done on a weekly basis,
yeah,
depending on how many receipts you've got, then it's in, and then that makes more sense depending on what your goals and how big you want to grow. Yeah. Like recently, Zero did a blog about what businesses should do about their numbers, and they can tell us, they tell a story. But if you're leaving your receipts in a shoebox, I mean, how many transactions you've gone at, you're not going to know that until it's out of date. It's, yeah, historic data. So it all depends what the business owner's goals are.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the, we were again talking about the podcasting and the blogging, with the seventh wave earlier, that it's this telling the story.
Yeah.
Is the theme throughout. Everybody has a story to tell.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
And it's the, if on the networking events, people come, you know, you stand up and you have your 30-second sort of pitch, for example.
Yeah.
More often than not, it makes more sense if you make a story.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and rather than talking about what you do, you just say, well, actually, my experience is, you know, I met Martin or something.
Yeah.
And he does this, and, oh, you know, we managed to halve his, office time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, great, so he can go out and do what he wants type thing. That sort of thing. So these stories start gelling with people.
Mm-hmm.
And they engage. You know, and it all comes down to people.
Yeah.
And whether you said already, haven't you? You said, you know, you go meeting people and saying, you know, do I actually get on? You know, can we work together?
Yeah, I find it difficult to get the information out in a clear, concise way, which I'm working on, communicate.
Yeah.
Not to make it all about us or me. Because I do admit, we've both come across when we've gone networking. As soon as you, because I found it difficult at first networking.
Was Hannah at that network?
She's been to a few of them.
Now
she got busy. She lets me out more now. But, but she has been to a few of them.
Yeah.
Where she found is, I struggled at the beginning because I struggled at the beginning because I was trying to promote our business.
Yes.
I'm not an accountant.
Yes.
But now I've learned I don't need to worry about
I'm
doing different things.
Yeah.
But as soon as when Hannah used to say, we changed it a little bit when she stood up and did your pitch and all that,
yes,
and you said the word accountant, or she's speaking to people and it's accountant, a lot of it, we get a lot of shut down.
Yes.
And they swear, oh, no, accountant does. My accountant's been with me for 30 years.
Yeah, yeah,
it's my relationship.
Yeah,
and that's fine. But because I tend to, people only switch accountants when they've had a problem or they've had a breakdown relationship.
Yes.
Or people stick to their current accountant because they've known him for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they don't know they've got a problem, because it's that saying, well, they've always done it this way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so.
Well, you're probably talking to somebody who's exactly that.
Right.
Yeah, we've moved from very large businesses.
Yeah.
Where it was all done for you.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
You were just part of the cog. You were a cog in this massive machine.
Yeah.
And now where you literally, your time is precious, and you don't want to be spending all your time trying to work out what's going on. I must admit, I'm big into software, as you might imagine.
Yeah, definitely.
If it makes my life easier, then that's great.
Yeah, that is the whole point.
And I've got, you know, I mean, it's a bit like when I'm working with people on, you know, when talking about machines and the internet and software and things. Obviously, that's my thing,
mm-hmm,
and I'm trying to make it as accessible as possible.
Yeah.
So people can get online. There's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, and you're on there, and you can promote it or not promote it as little as you want, but it's there. Second, so the technology is transparent. You just forget that, and you just do it. You know, same as you know on your mobile phones. Everything's done on the phone.
That's what Zero says. Like everything, it's making the current generation and the next generation. Like they say, everything's on demand, so they're making everything more demanding.
Yeah.
So why would you wait 2 months or 3 months to know what your accounts are doing?
or even worse than that, is the online banking is the one that is the killer for me. You know, and I'm with the co-op,
right? Yeah,
and one of the banks, and then First Direct. Well, First Direct was the first sort of like,
HSBC.
Yeah. You know, it was their online bank. They didn't have branches or anything like that.
No.
And the co-op have gone through sort of massive problems, and they still don't have an online app for the business.
All right.
It's just crazy. I mean, they've got current accounts and personal accounts and savings accounts and things.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can go on there and transfer money and all that sort of stuff. But business.
But they ain't got
it. And I've been petitioning.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
To get it out there. So why are they taking so long to do this? You know.
Well, they're falling behind if they keep.
They are falling behind. Yeah, and you know, they've. They've had other issues, you know, which is we have been publicised around nationally about, you know, but that's a human thing. But in terms of mechanics of banking, that's got to change.
Well, I've been in a bank. I can't remember. It's been years since I set foot in a bank. Yeah. I've been with First Direct.
What about check? Have you had a check?
No.
No.
No, just
I can't remember the last time I wrote a check.
It's all done through with it. All through from my app. Yeah.
So you know, I was on yesterday actually, just as it happened. With the co-op about this online banking, and they've got they've now switched to instead of having a card reader, which you can essentially set up things, you get codes and things and security, and I get all that needs, but they're now doing it via the app, via the phone at last. So you get notification via email or SMS or text or whatever. But that's, you know, that's 10 years old, that.
Yeah.
And they're only just getting to that point.
Yeah, people want information fast, and it's like with Xero, you can connect. Xero connects to your bank, your business bank account.
Can you link into things like Stripe and?
You can link PayPal, Stripe and pay packages, cardless, and all you're doing your bank feeds, so it feeds everything into your bank as well.
Okay.
So then that helps the accountant interpret what they need to do. And it's just come out now. I don't know enough information on it. Hannah knows more about it than me, but it's called Open Banking.
Yes.
They're all saying about open banking to make information more shareable.
Right, okay.
And by having your numbers, making the information more accessible and shareable, it means it's easier to get, once the information's there, it's easier to get funding if you need to grow.
Engineer a plan or something.
Yeah, because if you've got an app like Xero and it's fully done properly and all the numbers there and your business is performing really well, it'd be easier to if you need growth. But it'd be a lot. It basically is going to get to the point. What I've learned is you could just press a button and you could raise some funds because your information is so up to date. Wouldn't need to mess about going through all this paperwork. I think that's what I've learned so far.
So the pitching is that so that you're providing the bankers with data that they can make a decision on?
I haven't got enough information on that. Yeah, I think so. What's happening?
Because borrowing money is an interesting thing these days. You know, I mean, rates and all the other bits. You know, and how much you can do. You know, how much you would like to. You know, what sort of exposure of getting yourself involved. A lot of small businesses these days, it's not a guaranteed income.
No.
You know, so you maybe 1 month you have a slack month, for want of a better word. You know, we were talking about seasonal businesses earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and if you're paying out a monthly direct debit, you know, how does, you know, you can you be flexible like that? Could you, you know, you when the money comes in, you pay things? I don't know. I've no idea. I don't.
What if you're working in?
So I'm just thinking about like a seasonal business, you know?
Right?
So
they
don't have any income for 3 months, say, for investors, but you've borrowed money to support it.
Yeah, if
so, then you can sort of say actually set up a schedule that takes into account those seasonal changes because you've got it. You can actually predict it.
Yeah, and having those that information at hand, that's what is really important. Like we weren't that long ago, about three or four months ago, we picked up a client, and we were up against at least I think three. Big firms,
okay.
And like I said, because that's popped in my head, how we won that one is because they want to work more on the business than in the business, and they weren't getting it. Like you said before about big companies.
Yeah, yeah.
They want that more personal
thing,
so they can sit down with them and talk. And they weren't getting that. And like, there's a current one. He's not. They have no idea cash flow wise. They have no idea what's happening in the business,
right.
Even though they've got a Xero bookkeeper, and they've got an accountant.
So they were using zero already?
They're zero bookkeeper, basically put them onto zero with no training. And so they're doing their bookkeeping, and they've got an accountant to do the year-end and compliance side of things. Right. When we looked into it, he's doing bookkeeping as well.
Yes, he's double entry, literally double entry.
So he's had really bad cash flow problems.
Yes.
They haven't come over to us yet or anything, because from their backstory, they've changed at least three times accountants.
Right.
So they struggle. So this is what we're up against.
Yeah, okay. Well, your story... So, we're coming to the podcast here. This is kind of a way of putting out their success stories and talking about what you think. So without necessarily putting names to it, it doesn't have to be a direct, say, well, actually we took a business and they were, struggling for say their monthly end commitments and stuff because they're only paid on the first of the month, not the last of the month or something.
Yeah, that's what I've just said to him. Because it's that fine line. We are trying to solve the problem without coming across as salesy, because everyone's so suspicious.
So, but in your case, you've got Hannah as the accountant.
Yeah.
So, do you do it together?
Yeah. No, she does technically. She does all the work.
When we meet people,
I'll get information to make sure they are our ideal client, in that we can help them, that they want to grow, that it's not just a one man band. And if we can't help them, and advise, we'll say we can't help because you're better off. You just need compliance.
Yes.
So it's because we can do all that and then help them grow. So it's about knowing what they want. And then when we go and meet them, we'll both meet them and talk for the goals, because obviously Hannah's got the expertise in the accountancy.
Yeah, yeah.
We all do it for an online. It's all done online.
Yeah.
So the package, everything's clearly priced, and then we can explain exactly why it costs this much and why it costs that much.
Okay.
We do that side of things together.
So it's like a monthly fee then, would it?
And then it's monthly direct debits. Everything's set up, monthly direct debit.
Yep. Yep.
And the reason for that is, one, it helps our own cash flow, plus it helps them so they can plan ahead.
Yeah.
And if we're doing things in our own business and it's working, we can teach other businesses how to help, depending on what the business is that you recommend you need to do cash flow. And it keeps it, because you need that cash flow coming in. You don't want to be waiting 60 days or 90 days in. Yeah. And it's all transparent and it's fixed. And then we review it every 2 or 3 months, because if their business grows, our work load will grow.
Yes.
And so we do a fee review, but then everything's explained on why we change. We don't just change it. It has to be all explained. Like success story, because that is on my to-do list, is get more testimonials to share them. Because we picked up a few clients that took a long time. They got really bad advice in the past, and they went out of business because of that advice.
Mm.
So that's other one we've had, because I'm trying to do blogs. We had one where Hannah had been more of a relationship, not an accountant, a relationship manager, not an accountant.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've had a lot of relationship breakdowns. So she had to sort that out. And on one of them, she nearly got sucked into the argument that he was going to take Hannah to complain to her licence body. It was nothing to do with Hannah.
No, I get that,
So it's all these things what people don't see what accountants can do.
No, I think I've got something. I think we can off air, as it were. We can. I get, this podcasting environment too, that is Seventh Wave.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who that would resonate with,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of what I was doing today. But just, I think we're kind of. I'm just going to divert the conversation a little bit now.
Bit
more about what do you do? What sort of things do you get up to? What are your hobbies? I mean, you said you drove. Driving for ages. I've actually been rather interesting. I've just done my HGVs recently.
Have you?
Because we wanted to, we're talking about the logistics and transport industry, which is a hugely environmental disaster.
Don't get me started on that one.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at doing, we're looking at things like electric trucks.
Yeah.
This country.
They are coming out.
They are coming.
They are, but
there's
slower.
Not one here.
Yeah.
And so I was looking. I mean, this is exactly why this communicating.
Mm.
So I didn't know you drove trucks until we met now. That I'm looking at trucks are huge and they have massive power requirements. 350 kilowatts compared with a car, which is something 60 or something. So there's an infrastructure required to maintain an electric truck, for example.
Mm.
But I discovered that the hubs are roughly 100 miles apart.
Yeah.
A couple of hours drive, basically, within your driving allowances, so you can get, it's quite organised. and the sense that you know they do it, but they do it a very distinct way. You know, you drive in, you know, things like, you know, these what do they call the deckers?
Yeah, like the trailers and
the double decker trailers. And they go to a hub, and they they've got these forklift trucks that buzz around and unload and do it. But it's all done very, you know, all uniformly. It has to be done in time.
Yeah.
If you're driving a truck which has got a range of say 150 miles and you're doing a 100 mile trip, you need to charge it up at each hub. So we're looking at how maybe we could put charging units, but they're only stationary for 10 minutes. So how do you charge a truck? So we've got these sort of things, but it's interesting that, you know, your experience, I think we mentioned right at the beginning that, you know, you could, my fallback would be maybe you still have a driving thing.
I could go back in the thing, but at the same time, no, because I want to get out in the industry.
You don't want to change the industry.
I don't want to go out. I got out of the industry because it's not like it's broken. It's not, but it is broken and it's not. I'm grateful for it because it's paid for it. So I'm trying not to dub it down to it. I'm grateful for it because it paid for a living for the last 13 years.
Yeah.
But it is broken on certain levels in terms of, without getting too into the, you know, politics, in terms of looking after staff.
Yes.
And it is, when you do your training, people don't realise it is the third most dangerous industry to be in. Yeah. First is farming. Second is scaffolding, and then third one is lorry driving.
Seriously?
But
I thought I've entered into it.
You're not, but you're not looked after in certain industries, you are, and you're not. Because like a few years ago, when I were in that industry, in the same job I was in, I was sat down having a break with a work colleague, and he went 3 hours up the road to Chester Street and got killed.
Oh.
Long story short, but you know what I mean? So it just shows you how easy it can be done. And I was determined that not to happen to me, even though it can happen anywhere. Yeah. But it is just wasted in terms of, there is trucks going out. I don't know much about the electric side of things, but I know there will be people working on it. There's a lot of trucks where you can use gas, diesel and gas.
Yeah.
And the biggest outgoing for a lorry driver, for a lorry company, is one of them is fuel. And I would say there's high turnover of drivers because you're not looked after. I don't know the full statistics, but the statistics is from age from 40 to 60.
Yeah.
And some companies out there only pay about between, there's some companies out there that pay between £8, I don't know what, to be honest, I should know, but I don't know what the minimum wage is. It's about £9 an hour. There's some companies out there that only pay about £9 an hour, and if you're starting from scratch, it costs you about £3,000 to get your license. You're doing a dangerous job anyway, and you're doing a range from 10 to between 10 and 14 hour shifts. You never know what time you're going to finish, because you can't,
because
things go wrong and you break down, so you never know. And it's funny, if you did long distance, you could be all over the place. Why would any young person want
go into that? Well, I'm looking at the things that if you change the industry's perception, because we were talking about kids, you know, school kids looking at what careers they want to do, what jobs are available, if say in the Hope Valley, for example, you know, there's driving opportunities in there, and you know they've but they need to, they do, I'm with you, they need to change their appeal.
Yeah,
they need to look after them for a start. That's the first thing, and there's massive responsibility. I agree with that. But the idea of, you put an environmental sort of banner on this and say we're moving this forward by having an environment, you know, an electric truck, and they are coming here. We're behind Europe, of course, but we shouldn't be. But Volvo, for example, have got a claim that they can bring the truck, but it has to be proven to be able to do what it is, delivering you know, stuff from hub to hub, so that we get our stuff in the supermarkets and so on. But what is interesting, if you could add that sort of that ambition that you've got zero emissions, no fuel, because the fuel is the biggest thing. And the trucks are and safe.
Yeah.
I mean, I've driven, just of interest, terrible ones. You know, he's really...
Have you gone for your Class 1 then? Your CCC?
I've done all that.
Yeah.
Got my CPC and all the bits. And I'm just kind of getting a bit like you, you know, when you're going into your accountancy. Mm. You know, I've walked into this thinking, you know, well, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. It is at the beginning.
It is, but then it's hard. It's hard, and there's also this responsibility and timings, and there's this history of what, you know, Tesco's or the Waitrose's or whatever. You know, you have to be there within
yeah,
15-minute window.
You do, and sometimes they turn you away. I had one when I was on agency.
Oh, did you?
It was at Liverpool, and it's all one. There's no parking, basically. Everything's WLers, and they've even got cameras on. The council in that area had cameras on, so if you stopped, you could get fined. And the company doesn't get the fine.
You're responsible for the load, aren't you?
Yeah, the driver gets fined, and they won't let me in. I was 10 minutes, 15 minutes early, and they won't let me in.
Ooh, ouch.
Just things like that.
Well, the hubs that I've been to have been based around in Leeds, Birmingham, Manchester, Coventry, and Liverpool. These are the big hubs, you know. They're pretty efficient, I would say, in terms of shifting the stuff, but very little induction. You know, first time I went, I had literally no idea.
Yeah.
You know, they just said, just got a waft in. You know.
And they wonder why there's
one-way systems, which were not one-way.
No.
And, you know, once you get your hang of it, but it was very interesting. But
did you do it for an agency side?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're an agency driver, they expect you to know everything.
Yes. And if you've just started.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very interesting. So I'm learning on that. So that's giving you an idea. But these discussions are doing, you know, bringing all these other things in. So when I was saying, you know, what other things you do outside? That's your working life.
I do have a social life or whatever. Whilst I was driving, no, I didn't.
Hopefully we do.
I didn't whilst I was driving.
One of the things,
I didn't, because of the nature of the job, I had no friends outside of work or anything like that. It was just Hannah and the kids.
I used to
go out drinking when I was younger, my teenagers and whatever, and all that. But whilst I was driving, I didn't really had a social life. Never had any work colleagues to go out with or anything like that, because you just didn't in that industry, not very often.
But see, you know, night shift.
And I was doing night shifts, but since leaving, I was let into a lot of mountain biking.
Like a mountain biker. I thought about that, but yeah.
I did do a lot of mountain biking when I grew up, and I've got back into it on and off. I get back into it, a lot of running. I've got into running. I recently did... I did one at Cotswolds a couple of years back, 100 kilometres, about 60 miles.
Oh, endurance running.
And I did Batewell. There's one at Batewell about a month back. It's a figure eight, starters foot Batewell, and it's just a figure eight round Peak District. It's a 24-hour run. You can do it 24 hours.
I should know this one.
It was the Ultra Challenge, what was on.
Yeah.
Not long ago.
Yeah.
But I was gutted.
Do you know the spine?
I've come across that, and I showed this to Hannah. It's and she saw the title. It's the World Toughest Challenge.
It is, yeah.
And I'm tempted to go for that in a few years' time. I'm not ready for it yet, but yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I run
stuff.
I've run for ages, you know. But I've kind of gone through it a bit. I run for pleasure.
Yeah.
I'll get to in the Peak District.
Have you done the spine?
I haven't done the spine. What I've done is. We've done relay events running down the Pennine Way. The spine is the Pennine Way, basically. So I've done lots of events where we've raced in relays on huge legs. Lots of friends of mine have attempted things like the Bob Graham and the Paddy Buckley round and things. I've often done those, but I personally get more fun out of the wrecking and the preparation
and the
idea of just going around. You know, I mean, there was a couple of, you know, a long time ago I was. Could probably have done them, but kind of didn't.
No,
but had some great fun doing it. And the legacy is that I run a lot now. It's part of my fitness. Sat in Ringingly at the moment, and we've got this. Apparently, I've been told it's a world class mountain biking run in Lady Canning's.
I've done it once about 3 months ago.
Did you?
Twice. Right. I've recycled from mine. It's about 6 miles away from our house.
Yeah,
and I did it. I was training for my big run. I cycled from our house, did that route twice, and then I rode to Bakewell on my mountain bike, and then I'm back in one day.
No
idea how I did that, but it was fun. But I'm on my to-do list to do it again, but just spend a couple of hours there, because I've heard it's really good.
It's been designed by a well-known, I don't know his name, I think it's Pete somebody who's the mountain bike champion or something.
I just googled how I came across it. I just googled mountain bike tracks nearby, and then that's how.
Well, this
it.
Should come up, because it is.
It does, yeah.
I mean, in fact, when we're in here, well, typically it's raining today, but I get surrounded by cars and vans in particular, because they all bring their bikes.
Yeah.
Up here at say 4 o'clock in the afternoon after work type thing, or 5 o'clock, and they all pile in there, do half an hour on there,
yeah,
and then come.
Excuse me, that's what I always wanted to do, is to get back into my fitness, because when you got into the world of running, it's the same with anything, I suppose. You don't know how people think you're crazy doing it, but once you're into it, it's really enjoyable. Yeah. And I do it on my own, and I just meet people there.
Yeah.
I didn't finish the 100 clay. I stopped at 89. Oof, 89 kilometres. I was annoyed, but I couldn't walk anymore. But the point is, and complete stranger stayed with me for the 16 kilometre bit, okay. And they didn't have to.
No.
They walked, and they obviously did more training than me, and they could have carried on, but they didn't. Okay. I was lucky I did, because if I didn't stop, so I just need to do more training. And
what mileage are you doing in a week?
Currently, I ain't done much, because Hannah's just had an operation on her hand. She's had carpal tunnel syndrome.
That's where you get the pain.
She's had the operation done, so she can't really do any heavy lifting or move the kids around or anything like that. Yeah. So, and we've got a 2-year-old, and so I ain't really, it's gone lacking, but I'll get back into it. But I'll range, during the week, I'll probably just do 2 or 3 mile, a very slow jog. Mm-hmm. But my biggest run, I'll have to build back upward to again when I was training. I did about 10. Right. Kilometers, sometimes 8 mile. I've done a lot of running around here because, like I say, we just went to Norfolk last weekend, and I said to him, "Do you go to beach much?" It's only 10 minutes away. It's a coastline.
They don't do it,
and they don't do it very often. It's on your doorstep. It's in with Peak District. You don't realise it's on your doorstep. You don't miss it.
I've been a massive advocate for Peak District activity: cycling, running, walking,
I'm getting one about Peak District. I want to ask you if you've ever heard of it. It's about Peak District. It's a trail run, which they do a run on. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It opens up in. It's called trailrunningpeakdistrict.co.uk.
Right.
Have you ever heard of it?
I think it's run by an ex Dark Peaker.
That's the branding colours, anyway, and all that.
Yeah, it's.
It's like a trail run association, because I want to get into trail running more.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, I'm a runner. I'm not a road runner. I used to run, but.
So that's why I'm looking, because they're doing a 40 kilometre run in May, I think. But it's 2 weeks before we go away, so Hannah says, "You can't do that because you might hit yourself." Well, no, as long as I train correctly.
You've got plenty of time to get it organised with that.
When you mentioned about Peak District.
The Peak District's it's full of people who are enjoying, the Peak District running and stuff. Yeah. And as I said, long time I've been running in the peaks, and I just sort of have fun.
Yeah.
I tend not to do events. Because I've done it.
Yeah.
And I used to do things called mountain marathons, which are like 2-day events, in the Lake District or in Scotland or something like that. But you're going to have to up your mileage a bit for doing your endurance race.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the distances we do, I run for a couple of hours on Sunday mornings and hour or so and on Saturday.
Yeah,
I
don't think that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Now you need to do it on a gradual basis so you don't get injured.
No, I think that's one of my problems. What I never went running, and then I went from nothing to 5K, and I went 5K to 10. I thought, all right, I'll go and do
100.
And right. I did it.
Yeah.
But I don't admit, I barely walked after.
You got to 89,
but I didn't. Yeah, so I do need to take it a little bit more serious than that. But it's you
joined a club then, or anything?
No, because I find it difficult to keep until we get maybe once we get. Freedom numbers where we need to, and we get a bit more organised ourselves in that sense. Then but it's it's only been a year since I stopped working, so to speak.
Yeah.
With employment, so I could never do it, and that was one of the things when I used to drive on night. So you've got to work at 5, and when weather was nice, we'd be able to see runners going out running.
Yeah.
I want to go and do that.
Yeah. You will. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the life balances, that's another story.
That's probably another podcast. So that's that lifestyle balance, like. You don't always work, you can't be working all the time.
No.
It depends what your goals are again and everything, but
I think a lot of people talk about health, well-being and life balance and so on. Everybody has their own different balance, what you like to do. That's what you're experimenting with. Yeah. Things change, things move on.
Well, it's like, I think you've touched on it earlier, it's like nobody stays in jobs now for 20, 30 years.
No.
Technology has changed. I spoke to somebody actually not long ago at a networking event.
Yeah.
It's like with our kids, one's 7, one's 2. I think when on my self-development journey, what I've been learning over the last 5 years, what we're not taught at school is I think I've come across one. It says the best skill you can learn is how, it's not what to learn, it's how to learn, mm-hmm. which we're not taught about,
yeah.
and at least have another skill set. Where, so if you want to be an accountant or you want to be a doctor, or you know, but have another skill in the background in case that basically gets automated or outsourced.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you can be made obsolete overnight with the technology. So that's probably another story, but do you know what I mean?
Hopefully, we'll be getting things like the Hope Valley College and the people that listen to some of these podcasts.
Yeah.
That's the idea. And see, they will listen and learn.
Yeah.
And they can get to learn different ways. You know, everybody comes from very different backgrounds. So.
Because I think I come across that not everybody learns in different ways, and they don't, like, Hannah learns a certain way, but I think they come across called single chance learning. So basically, you're only taught, if you only learn the way the school teaches you, which is sit down in rows,
yes,
and listen, yeah. and you don't get it, then you don't. That's it. You don't get it.
You're lost for life. You
yeah,
mean, yeah.
And it's difficult. And if you don't have that support package near, that's where there can be trouble ahead. Like yeah. I just saw a program briefly. I can't remember the full program, but they had 60 kids and one teacher.
Yes.
Because of the staff shortage.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like how can.
This is going to have to be another podcast.
Yes, I know.
We are up to 40 minutes. I can't believe how quickly this goes.
No, I don't think it'll go that long.
No, exactly.
I hope I didn't keep too long.
No. So I'm going to just, I usually sign it off by saying, right, I'm going to switch it off, which is exactly what I'm going to do now. So,